longer being recorded.
Hello, everyone. This is Patricia and Robert in the room along with Ben and Marcella, and Mary's online. Okay. Do I need to start over? Okay. So, and Mary's on the call as well from her office. So we are happy to connect with you today and looking forward to hearing from you and to see how you're doing. We, of course, have been praying furiously for you and your families during this time, and we trust that you are in God's bubble. We have heard some great reports from some of our partners, how well they're doing, and definitely our team here has been blessed. There has not been one sick among us, so we are very blessed with that, and we know that that's the hand of the Lord. But we want to wish you a very happy Passover. Passover begins today at sundown and goes all the way through to the 16th. And, of course, we have Resurrection Sunday this week, and so we have a lot to celebrate. And I know that many of you have been, you know, watching all the different live streams. I don't think there's ever been so much word going out in the history of the church because everyone's doing live streams. I know that for myself, every day we're doing some live streams and sometimes up to 3 to 4 conferences a day online. So I've never reached so many people in such a short amount of time. So it's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord in this hour. And as you're watching, though, you'll probably, you know, notice for sure that there's a lot of words that seem to be contrary to one another, which can be confusing. And we just want to, you know, just let you know that usually in every word that goes out, there's, you know, things to be gleaned in it, okay? So even in ones that seem contrary, you can always look for the voice of God in it and extract the precious from the worthless, hold fast to that which is good, and by all means and above all else, look to Jesus himself, because Jesus, the Savior, is the spirit of prophecy. And so we want to always keep our eyes upon him, and any prophetic word that is given should lead our hearts to face Jesus Christ and to cleave to him. And so that would be my little piece of encouragement for you if you've been discouraged by, you know, all the words that seem to be contrary. And most of them are giving hope and faith and expectation, which is really good. Some of them are giving warning, which is also very good, you know, because it's a time to reset and to check our hearts. And so I've just been gleaning from all of the words and enjoying everything that God's been speaking in this hour. So there's a lot of pain out there, of course, that we need to constantly be in prayer for those who are suffering, for those who have family members that have passed and they weren't able to be with them. Those are very, very hard situations. So we're asking our partners to pray for everyone involved. And there's many of them out there, especially in the New York area, to pray for comfort, to pray for the Lord's presence to minister to those who need it. And of course, we invite you to come into agreement with us for healing for everyone who's sick. And those prayers are being answered because we're already seeing reports come out of New York, which is the kind of the epicenter that we're looking at here. But already the curve is starting to flatten. There are people leaving the hospitals more and fewer going in. And so we are very excited about what God is doing and that we believe that we have seen a shift. So we're very happy to take note of that. But we also want to invite you to build your expectation and let's pray together because all things are possible in God. And if you never pray and ask, then you'll never see the results. I remember someone saying to me, well, what if I pray and nothing happens? And my response would be like, well, what if you pray and it does? Right? Because if we don't pray, we're not going to get any results. But I want to give you an expectation for something so glorious. That can you imagine during Passover, during the week of Passover, that all of a sudden people wake up in the hospital feeling great, all the patients are saying, wow, I'm not coughing anymore. I don't have any more fever. My strength has been replenished. I think I'll go home. So the hospitals empty out and no new people come in. And so let's believe God to do something great, to bring a wind of his healing and his goodness into this situation, that he receive great glory and attention worldwide. So I'm kind of excited about the possibility of that prayer being answered. And I know that it would bring great glory to God and, of course, relief to families all across this land. We had Johnny Enlow with us yesterday, and it was a great broadcast, giving a lot of hope for the nation. But Robert and I were talking with him after we went off the air, and asking him about the stimulus program, what they thought, because if it's going to put the nation in more debt, you know, is that a good thing? And he explained something powerful, and maybe Robert, you could explain it better than I can, because your wife's also been on this, but I want you to hear this, because back in early March, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that Trump was going to do something to recover the economy that would shock a lot of people at the level of wisdom that it took to come up with that. And I actually shared it in a couple of venues, and this to me sounds like that, but maybe you could explain it better than I can, because I don't understand these things very clear.
Yeah, I wish Uri was here, because she understands it in depth, and she was even explaining it to me again last night. But the way Johnny mapped it out for us is that basically what President Trump did with the Federal Reserve is, the Federal Reserve, as you guys all know, it has nothing to do with the federal government. It's a name that is a little misleading, but it's a group of people that basically hold all this money, and we owe them all this interest on our debt, which I believe is $21 trillion. And so what happened was, what President Trump did was brilliant. He shifted things in the midst of this crisis so that the Federal Reserve, he's now the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And even news sources like the Bloomberg news sources were sending out headlines, meet your new Federal Reserve chairman, President Donald Trump. And the way Johnny explained it, and the way my wife was explaining to me last night, much like Patricia, I don't always have a head for this type of thing, but I get the gist of it. What it means is, now the President of the United States is the head of the Federal Reserve. So the interest that we were paying to the Federal Reserve on $21 trillion of debt is now being paid to us and the federal government. So it should more than cover this stimulus package. So we're not going further into debt from it, but actually it will not only stimulate our economy by sharing this money, but it is switching around where the interest on debt was going to, where now it's actually fueling our economy as opposed to a drain on the economy.
And also, it's the Federal Reserve that is now in debt, not the nation. The Federal Reserve is in debt, but not the nation. And so it's really crazy. And I'm still a bit mind-boggled by it, but I feel like there's more to come. So let's keep praying. Pray for the president. Pray for wisdom from above. We never want to idolize a man. We want to put our trust in God. But as Johnny Enlow shared yesterday, he said we do have to recognize the vessel that God has raised up, just like how Moses was raised up to lead the people out of Egypt. He always has a person involved, like Mary was the person involved to give birth to Jesus. There's always an individual involved. And so let's just pray, not out of idolatry, but out of acknowledging that God has put his hand on Trump for such a time as this to bring the nation back into alignment, especially for pro-life and pro-Israel and pro-family and things that are really important, and also bringing the economy back into alignment. So we're pretty excited about that, and if it can happen in one nation, it'll be a domino effect. It seems to always happen that way, so there's a domino effect that can hit the nation, so we're excited. So let's talk our theme for this month. We've got a new theme for our mentoring of our partners this month, and it is on unity, the secret power of togetherness. And what is so funny is that we actually planned for the schedule of the topics was made back before the beginning of the year. And we didn't know that we were going to be facing a crisis at this time that would actually be forcing families back into their homes together and, you know, and also at the same time having a dynamic of what is referred to as social distancing. I never even heard that term before this happened, social distancing. And so we're talking about togetherness, and yet we can't meet in our churches. We can't go out and do things together in the community because of this whole pandemic that we have to take precautions in order to love others. And by the way, many have asked us what we think about different ministries who are ignoring the government's invitation or the government's mandate to keep everyone separate, and they're still gathering together based on their constitutional rights or whatever. People are asking us as a ministry how we feel about it, and both Robert and I feel very strongly that we are, of course, to honor every ministry. I know of, you know, one ministry in particular that we, of course, honor and respect their message to the body and their ministry to the body over the years. But we feel that our freedom of speech is not being violated right now because we are preaching the gospel more every day than we ever have with freedom. And we are gathering people more than ever by internet. So we don't believe that we're being violated in that way, and that we're that our freedom of speech, our freedom of worship is not being threatened at this hour, but that it's a loving thing to protect other people. I mean, you might have, like, feel just fine. Well, I have faith that we're not going to get sick, but what about others that might come into the midst that might get something? So we need to be loving. So that's our stand. We're not condemning anyone, but I'm not in agreement with the mindset of, well, just ignore what the government recommends and let's just do our own thing anyways, because we're the church and we get to meet together and no one's going to stop us. I actually struggle a little bit with that mindset. We have absolute freedom of speech, and we have a president that is in support of the church and is making way for the church. So let's be wise right now with this virus. It's a very real thing, and the reason why it has not spread as much as it could have, because they were anticipating how many millions of people, I think 100 million people or something like that they were anticipating. Well, it's under 200,000, I think, or under 300,000. It's not even anywhere near what they projected. But it's because, and the governor of New York said this on the news last night, the reason why it is flattening right now is because people are taking the precautions. Yeah.
I just wanted to add one other thing is in addition to what Patricia said about the what the government's asking us to observe, there's a difference between cooperation and compromise. We are not compromising the gospel. We're not compromising our right to preach and spread the gospel. And I believe that in honoring what the government is asking, there's no compromise on our part, but there is cooperation. And I believe this can actually be a divine setup for the government to start looking to the church in greater and greater ways as someone they can cooperate with to bring solutions. We're believing for the church to become positioned as part of the solution in the earth in every sphere of influence, for us to be the difference makers in every sphere of influence. I believe this is an invitation to step into that by never compromising the truth of the gospel ever, 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 but by being willing to cooperate with other spheres of influence so we're brought in to the solution-making and the difference-bringing.
Right on, right on. So then back to togetherness. I want to say that what I've observed is that families are coming together even more because they are in the same house together, parents with children and married couples. That in many cases, this is actually bringing people closer together in their communities because we can't go out and do the same things that we used to do. But also we're noticing that there's such creativity being given to many people, like standing out in their neighborhoods at 6 o'clock at night and waving to each other or dancing or singing together. In New York, people would be out on their balconies waving at each other and, you know, shouting declarations. So, I mean, there's a lot of togetherness that is coming. But we do believe that that's God's heart, and we know that's where he commands the blessing, is where the brethren dwell together in unity. And, of course, we also know that in Jesus' prayer for us, that he said that the glory would bring us into unity in John 17, and that we might be one as he and the Father are one. And so it's something that we want to press into this month, is just going after that and inviting the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts of anything, of any attitude, of any offense, of any bitterness, of anything that is keeping us from modeling the heart of God in this, that we need to be together and cheer each other on and honor each other. And so we just want to encourage you in your families, in your churches, in your, you know, in your work situations, that let's do everything that we can as a ministry to promote togetherness, to promote unity. And Robert, do you want to share anything more before we open up the lines?
Sure. The unity message is so important. We're talking about it all this month, and we know that any one person in Christ is in the majority against the enemy. But when we come together in unity, there's this incredible geometric progression. One sets 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. And I really think, very similar to what we're talking about in regards to honoring the guidelines of the government, I feel like this whole thing is a divine setup. God didn't offer this sickness and disease in any way, but he's using this whole situation as a divine setup, shaking all that can be shaken, so that we're finding new ways to be one in the Spirit. Because, you know, sometimes we can gather together in the church every Sunday, and we're in the same room, but we're not really gathering together in the Spirit, in the sense of we're very blessed with Shiloh Fellowship. We have a vibrant, wonderful church. But there are some churches where people gather together and they're just sort of in the room together. Now we're learning how not to be in the room together, but to be connected in the Spirit together. In very much like that's the key to me in Acts 2:2 about unity making a place for the Holy Spirit to move mightily, is they were of one accord, it says. And that means in the same place, yes, but it also means with the same focus. That one accord is made up of two root Greek words that mean same place, same focus. And I believe we're in the same place. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we're learning to gather together in cyber ways, in web ways, in creative ways, in being together on our balconies and singing together like we're seeing coming out of Italy. We're finding new ways to connect that I think will deepen the traditional ways when we come back into that. So God turns this all to the good. I really want to encourage you to expect not only the goodness of God in this season, but for great fruit to come out of this season. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, there's difficulties. Yes, there's heartbreaking situations. But when I was in Exodus 12 and 13 this morning, as I'm sure many of you were as well, because today being Passover, beginning Passover, one of the things that really struck me was that God not only brought them out of the difficult situation, out of the 430 years in Egypt, but he brought them out with treasure, with spoils, with plunder. It said they left Egypt like a plundering army. They were weighed down with the spoils. That's what we're believing for our ministry. That's what we're believing for our whole family. That's what we're believing for you, is that we're coming out of this season. We're not just coming through this season. We're coming out of this season with spoils. And we're doing that because, number one, we're choosing unity with God, but number two, we're choosing unity with one another. And we're finding new ways, creative ways. That's one of the things that I think is exciting about this. When we went into this whole time of self-isolating and self-quarantining and the lockdown, the Lord spoke to me and said, don't look at this as a season of isolation. Look at this as a season of invitation to intimacy with me, to tucking into me. And he said, if you do, this won't be a season of isolation. It will be a season of inspiration and innovation. And I know for us as a ministry, as we're talking into God, we're finding, we're getting inspiration on innovative ways to do things. Like Patricia said, we're busier than ever preaching the gospel. We're doing multiple live streams and multiple events every single day. And it's amazing the numbers of people that we're able to bring together, the events we're able to be a part of, and the lives that are being touched. So I know God's doing the same in your life. We're praying a great a blessing over you and a great grace over you to lift up your eyes and see who God is in this season and the goodness that he has for us in this season and all the spoils that are going to come out of it. So get ready to come out of this season weighed down with treasure and plunder and spoils, because that's who our God is and that's what he does. So with that, we'll go into the Q&A and the interaction time. Ben, I'm assuming it's still press star 6 to enter the queue. So if you'd like to share something or have a all you need to do is press star 6, and you'll go into the queue for questions and comments. And more than anything, we can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. We know there's a lot going on, and we're grateful to be able to gather with you in this creative way.
Okay, so we'll just wait for you to go into the queue, but I just want to share a big thank you to all of you, because I know that some of you have been affected financially by this whole situation. Some I know out there who have lost jobs. I'm not sure about our own partnership, but I know that there are some who have lost jobs because of it. And are unemployed at this time and are scared because they do not know what's following or when it's going to end or how it's going to work out. So we've been praying for everyone who is affected that way. And definitely if you have personal prayer requests in that nature, we want to cover you and pray, because we do have faith in Jesus and in his greatness to provide. But I do want to just share with you also, just heart to heart, as a ministry, we have different ways that God has in the past provided. And we know that all of our provision is ultimately from him. And so we never want to get our eyes off of him. But he's used different ways to provide. And one of them, for sure, one of our main sources is partnership. It's what gives us the foundation to continue to grow in the ministry and do the things that we've been called to do to reach the nations. So our partnership, and that is who you are. We couldn't go into the nations without you. We are all together as a family. So that is our primary stream. But then also Robert and I go out and serve the body in all kinds of itinerant events. I'm usually out to at least one event a week. And that's where we build relationship with people on the road. We serve them and their mandates and give word and life to their people. I love itinerant ministry, and so does Robert, because we get to serve the body in such a beautiful way. And oftentimes, or most often, we are given an honorarium for the ministry. We don't take any of the honorariums ourselves. We put everything back into the ministry. So we're given an honorarium, which also helps the revenue stream of the ministry. It's a way that God uses. There's sometimes that we will just go out and say, no, you know what? We just want to sow this back into you. So we do that numerous times as well, just sowing back into the ministries that we serve, because we never want to have a heart that is like, okay, well, I've got to go out and do this to make money, right? We never want to enter that. So oftentimes in a year, we will say to the host that hosts us, you know, we would like to sow this back into your ministry. And that just keeps the seed going out there beautifully, but it also supports relationship and love in the different ministries, and keeps us free from a position of thinking, okay, I've got to make money to look after the ministry, because we always want to remember God. So that's the second stream of resource. And the third way is through resource sales, because we intentionally sell our product with a markup, that so that that can continue to be used to pay for the workers that work in the department to get that word out to the nations. And so that's another revenue stream to help us get the word out. So in a pandemic like this, we aren't going out on the road at all. So that means there's no honorariums. And I'm just speaking in a financial, practical way right now. There's no honorariums. And then also there's no resource being sold because that's our biggest place to sell resource. So there's no resource going out. And in our partnership, some are finding the times tight. So we've actually lost some partners or people who said, I'm sorry, I can't support right now because of the situations that's happening in our life. So in the natural, our provision from the regular ways that God has used to provide for us is, in the natural, depleted. And when we're doing all these conference calls, there is no finance involved there. We just do it for the love of God and the love of His Word. We are not given any honorariums or that when we do conferences with people online. But we're just happy to serve them. So our position through this has been to just keep our eyes on Jesus because He's always provided for us, always. He's never left us in the lurch. And so we're just like worshiping Him every day as our provider and blessing Him and with an assurance that He is going to care for us. So I wanted to pass that on to you to let you know that if you are suffering at all, that the same way that we are turning our heart completely unto Jesus with full expectation on Him, that that's a place where you can go. And I'm just taking one day at a time. The Lord says, don't look for tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow and how you think, you know, how are we going to pay the bills tomorrow? Because God will look after that tomorrow. And so today, our position is, God, today you give us our daily bread. Today I'm going to worship you as my provider. Today I'm going to give you the first and the best of everything. And as a ministry, we so believe in giving God the first and the best. That's why we're so blessed. We've always done that. In fact, I have upped my giving in this hour. I've increased my giving in this hour because I always want God to be first. I always want to bless Him before I, you know, buy my own groceries, before I look after myself. I want to look after Him. And as I honor Him and worship Him, He looks after me. So what we want to encourage you in your life is don't be afraid. And we are praying for you. Just take one day at a time and worship the Lord and be generous in this season. I know that in our church we've been gathering up food and, you know, different things that we can even practically give to other people. But always have a generous spirit. No matter what you're going through, don't ever lay hold of a withholding spirit, which shuts everything down, because that'll kill you more than anything, right? We always want to keep an open hand and keep things moving and work beyond the fear and give. So with that, I want to say that we value your giving now more than ever. And we always have valued your giving, but now I realize that for many of you, it is a sacrifice and it's a big step of faith for you. And we don't take that for granted. And we just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. And we want to help you in this hour. Stay in the faith and stay focused on Jesus. And I can tell you, through 45 years of walking with Jesus, I have seen Him over and over and over and over again provide everything that we have ever needed. In the area of resource, in the area of emotional support, in the area of physical strength, whatever I've had need of, when I look to Him and only to Him, He somehow brings it. And we are so thankful. And if one stream dries up, that doesn't mean that He doesn't have other streams to open up, maybe streams that we never even thought of before. And so I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to worry. There is a river that flows from the throne of grace that is full of provision and everything that you need in this hour. So I hope that little encouragement is a blessing to you. Okay, Ben, do we have anyone? Nope, no one. None of you want to comment or anything. And this is for sure on, right? The Q&A session is on. But we don't have any of you responding, so we'll close in prayer then, okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Oh, just a minute. We just got someone, Dana. Diana. There you are, Diana. Hello, Diana. How are you?
Hi, Patricia. I'm good. Hello, and Robert.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, I want to be able to relate the holiness of Passover with the Easter message. To me, it goes right hand in hand to my congregation, which I don't necessarily know that they're really thinking about Passover in relation to that, to Easter. Could you just give me a few teaching points or something like that?
Sure. Right away, I'm thinking of maybe presenting to them that historically there's been two Passovers. One of them was in the Old Testament, of course, when Egypt was oppressing Israel, and God was delivering them out of Israel, and so the Passover was initiated. That's where we see it first in biblical history. And, of course, that is a type. It was a lamb for a house. And it was showing a covenant of blessing, the blessing of life, because when the blood of the lamb was put on each household, on the doorposts, on the lentils, that was a sign of their protection, that they would have life when death was passing through all of Egypt. So it was revealing the lifeblood of Jesus Christ in that. And, of course, following that, they plundered the Egyptians. There was financial blessing there. They were brought into their freedom. Even when their enemies chased after them, God delivered them and brought them into eventually their promised land. That was initiated at Passover. But the second historical Passover was when Jesus shed his blood. He was the lamb. He was the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world to deliver us from judgment, to deliver us from death, and to give us life. And that was implemented on the cross, which is Good Friday. He shed his blood, and then he paid the penalty and rose with resurrection power on the third day. He rose again from the dead with full power and full anointing. So the Passover lamb, who is Jesus Christ, that we see in the second Passover, far surpasses the first Passover, which was a shadow of a type of what was to come. And so absolutely our celebration of Resurrection Sunday is tied in to the first Passover. Absolutely, because Jesus was revealed in the first Passover, even though he hadn't come yet. God's plan for Jesus as Passover was revealed. The Passover lamb, the lamb without blemish, the lamb that was perfect and flawless, that was sacrificed for each house. And they were to partake of that meal. They were to feast. While there was judgment going on around them, they were to feast on that lamb. And so there's so much that you could draw out of that. Of course, all the benefits that come from the covenant of blessing that we have, the covenant of life that we have through Jesus Christ. Robert, did you have anything that you'd want to? She actually pastors a church. Diane is a pastor. And so do you have anything more that you'd like to add to that?
No, what you said was perfect. I mean, maybe simply point out that to echo what you said about that Jesus was the type, and in Revelation we see the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth was laid. So even before God created the earth, God had this plan of shedding the blood of the Lamb that in the Old Testament we see the example and type of, and then simply show them that in Christ, that's what he's done for us, set us free from bondages. And again, even like we talked about this morning, and he gives us so many blessings, and you can even unpack some of the blessings, the plunder of coming out of the bondage of sin that he's paid for us.
Amen. And Diana, that's what will give people hope in this hour, is to know it's such a blessing that covenant is a covenant of blessing. And the Passover lamb, he shed his blood for us so that we would live in his goodness and in his safety, his deliverance, his prosperity, everything good. So
wonderful. Thank you. Okay, yes, it
does.
You're
welcome, Diana. You have a great Passover. Okay, hello, next caller.
Hi, this is Sheila Day calling.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, I didn't push first because I've called in a couple times over the last year, and so I was waiting. And then when you said no one was in the queue, I'm like, uh-oh.
Now's your chance.
Okay, well, I am wanting to make a comment with what Diane was saying, because I attend Rabbi Landry, who's one of your partners, online church, the One New Man Messianic Congregation. And
yep.
He is having Passover Seder live tonight. And so I was going to suggest to Diane to watch the online Seder, because the whole belief is that in Exodus 23, the Lord says, three times in the year you must celebrate a feast to me. And the revelation to come to all believers and ministers that it's not Old Testament and it's not Jewish, it's for everyone, and that
it's a
biblical, you know, everything piece. Yeah, everything you said is so right on as far as communion. But I really originally wanted to just say, you know, everyone should be at this time trying to take communion, and for people who were of other religions like Catholic or different things, it's a real challenge to do that just in and of itself. But there's a lot of good videos on YouTube. Paul Keith Davis has it. Or just to say the scripture, to take communion today, and for people who have never done that, I just was going to say that's really key to do for the Passover, as you already addressed on that. But I just feel the Holy Spirit really just wanting to say that those feasts are biblical, and that it is really key that that pastors be able to feed their flocks this revelation.
Yeah, so
and,
good. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, they're biblical feasts. They're not just Jewish feasts, or, you know, they're not Old Testament feasts. They're biblical feasts, and every feast reveals Jesus, every feast. And it's so beautiful to find him in it and to celebrate him. So thank you.
And also,
I
just want to interject. The whole book on finding our Jewish heritage, when they outlawed the feast, we lost the blessings of Exodus 23 because we weren't able to come under put our feet under the table of the Lord. So all the blessings in there, you know, Jesus paid the price for us to receive. And so if we're ignorant about them and we're not participating in this very special moed, they call them, of the Lord. So bless everybody. I just can't wait to see on the other side of Corona. We have a victory right now. It is ours.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. And we're seeing more and more understanding being given in the church, and more Passover Seders. In fact, right now, there are a number of them online this evening. And so definitely go to Rabbi Laurie's, and also God TV is also hosting one tonight. And so this is thrilling to see. So partake of that. There's also a worldwide communion service this afternoon that is led by Joshua Fowler and Cindy Jacobs, and Dutch Sheets and many others will be on that as well. And
thank you for saying that. Awesome.
Yeah, that begins at noon Pacific time. So, wow, what a week of celebration. So let's take it seriously and jump on board. And thank you so much, Sheila, for sharing. Hello? Hello? This is our
Hi,
next caller.
Hello, this is Lexi.
Hi.
Hi, thank you. I've been taking communion. I've taken it probably three times at home, three different days. And yesterday I was taking it. I'm doing water with cashews. And as I was taking the communion, I went into a like really freaky vision. And I went into the church and I saw witches cursing the communion in the church. Like in my church that I go to, and I rejected that word in my mind. I was like, no, and this was after I ate the cashew. And then I went into kind of like a panic attack, and then I finished, like, with the water, and then it, like, snapped off of me, and it was kind of, like, in a good way it snapped off of me, but I was just wondering what you think about that.
Well, I can tell you that witches and satanic cults celebrate this whole weekend coming up, starting at Good Friday, as their victory, their leader's victory. They have the whole thing twisted around that they defeated Jesus on the cross, that Satan defeated Jesus on the cross, that Satan killed Jesus. And so they celebrate this week as their, this is a higher level celebration day for Satanists than Halloween or any other time. And there's a lot of blood sacrifice that goes on. They'll collect their animals and even, unfortunately, people to shed blood this weekend more than any other time in order to get power working in their lives. And so what you actually went into as a vision was maybe a literal insight from the Lord, but what you did was right. You broke it off. And that's what we have to understand, that we don't have to be afraid of those powers, that we just need to take our authority. And you took the authority and the dominion and the protection over the blood and the bread is protected in the name of Jesus. So, I have a book actually called Witchcraft or Exposed Witchcraft in the Church, it's called. And that might be a helpful book for you, because not only does it expose what different witches do or Satanists do to bring down the church, but also how to overcome it. And I don't think I put in that book anything about the different celebration days that they have, such as this one. But there's a lot of insight in there that might be helpful for you to overcoming. So it's called Witchcraft or Exposed Witchcraft in the Church. Okay, next caller. Hello? Hello? This is a caller whose number ends in 6522.
Yes, this is Ikura. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi there.
Hi. I have a comment and I also have a prayer request. I've noticed that within the last month, I would say that I've been having a lot of dreams, and I've been hearing the Lord speak clearly than ever before. And I started the Glory School. And the very first day that I started it, and I was reading through the introduction and the tape and stuff, there was three flashes of light. And I already kind of know that that could be angels that are showing up during that time. So I just thank God for that. But I specifically want to pray for healthcare workers. I know most of the time we hear doctors and nurses, but we also have techs. We also have people in the kitchen. We also have security guards. So I just want to pray for everybody that's working in the healthcare facility, that the others won't be forgotten, because even though the doctors do the prescriptions, the nurses give the medications and assess the patients, but we have the techs who go do the blood and do the vital signs and stuff like that, so they're also exposed. So I want to pray for them as well, that they will not be forgotten. And I want to pray for wisdom for every child of God that's working with anyone infected with the coronavirus, whether they be hospital workers in the grocery store, wherever they are, wisdom on how to talk to them about Jesus and how to just encourage them at that time. Some people are different, and people need to be approached differently. So I'm asking God for that unique wisdom for how to approach each person that we all come across during this fight against coronavirus. And I also want to pray for pastors. I think I was listening to Lana Bowser this morning, and And Melissa was saying, the Lord said that we need to pray for pastors. And it actually clicked, because most times we forget about the pastors, or we just think, okay, they're fine. No, not really. Our church is online, so I was listening to our pastor, and I could tell that he did say that he had challenges of, he has 5 children, so taking care of them by himself with a wife and them and still have to do the church work, it's challenging at this time. So I just want to pray for, ask for prayer for pastors, for Lord to give them wisdom and help, and help them, like mine that has children, to help the children be calm and do what parents want them to do so they can get the work of God done. And for ideas and wisdom and revelation at this time, and for God to just help them out, because the harvest is coming. There's a recent thing you had online and I listened to, and the Lord revealed a whole lot, and the harvest is really, it's about to hit the church so hard that we have to really be ready. So I'm asking for the Lord to send helpers to help these pastors, because they're going to come in like a flood, and we have to be ready for that. So that's my request and comment.
Oh, those are so good. Those are so good. And we just say a big amen. And I was thinking of the hospital workers, like all the people who have to handle the laundry, for example,
exactly,
and the food. Yes. And also, of course, in the grocery stores where, you know, people are serving the public the best that they can, but they're being exposed, you know. And I guess on the news last night, I saw that one worker in the store got the virus and passed. They actually passed, which was so sad. And it was a young woman, too. She was just, she looked about maybe 18 or 19 or something as a young gal. But anyways, let's just pray a general prayer of agreement over everything that she said. But then some of you might feel to pick up specific aspects of it after as well, because I think these things could be prayed into even more. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just right now come before you and come into agreement for your power and your goodness and your deliverance and your healing and your sustaining grace to fall into every single request that's been brought before us, Father. We bring them before your throne of grace in agreement with your word, in agreement with your goodness, in agreement with the power of your glorious Passover blood. We thank you, Jesus, for exalting your help, your wholeness, your goodness over the attacks of the enemy and over that which would attack your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, next. Hello? Hello?
Hi, my name is Kim.
Hi,
thank you for taking my question. I just, basically in regards to the Passover meal, if we are not able to uphold the traditional Passover meal and celebrate that, besides communion, is there anything you suggest that we could partake of that would be in line with the honoring the traditional meal?
Well, I think communion is great, especially when you know what has happened. And you might want to just take time to review in the scriptures the first Passover, and then review in scriptures again, the labors of Jesus on the cross and what followed, and giving honor to God, because it is the heart. Even though I do understand the beauty of observing all the Seder, the way that it was done traditionally, is that God looks at the heart, and that behind it all, God looks at the heart. And so I would, I think that might be helpful for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
I also want to encourage you, as Patricia said, Exodus 11 and 12 is a great meal for us during Passover, but so is Psalm 23, where the Lord reminds us that he has a banquet table set for us in the midst of our enemy, because ultimately Jesus is our Passover lamb. And the most important thing for any of us to partake of, and I love the Seder meal as well, and I love the symbolism, and I love how it's a type of Christ throughout the whole thing, and it's a great memory. It's a great time to come together as family and celebrate him. But ultimately, we must remember that Jesus is our Passover lamb. So even simply taking time with him, you know, a Psalm 23 moment of saying, Lord, in the midst of all that's going on, I'm sitting down to focus on you, and I'm coming to your table for Passover because you are my Passover lamb, and I'm eating of your presence. I'm partaking of your word. And if you do that in communion as well, that's great. But I love observing the Passover tradition as outlined in Exodus 12 and 13, but ultimately that points to Jesus, so we can have that by simply focusing on him and supping and feasting on his presence.
Thank you for that good information.
Okay, thank you, and God bless you. Well, Father, we just pray blessing over all of our people. I think that's, that was the last one. And Lord, that all of them will enjoy you in this Passover time, and that you will enjoy receiving our intimate fellowship and celebration of you, our Passover. And Father, I thank you for all the celebrations, the feasts that are being celebrated, and just drawing people to you, pointing people to you to partake of you and these glorious feasts that you have put within your word for us to enjoy and imbibe of. And so we thank you, Lord, for the exaltation that you're going to receive today all across the world, and that we join in our faith with every believer around the world and say, Jesus is Lord. God bless you all, and have a wonderful evening and a great Passover week.